dates that I would like to call up. 20 years ago, NATO forces bombed Yugoslavia, including a telecenter and trains, passenger trains, and other civil sites that are protected by the international law. It's amazing how today NATO leaders are saying about those events as their achievement in the fight for democracy, trying to essentially justify aggression. And their policy of dividing up Yugoslavia, by doing that, they have essentially dismantled the Helsinki Act principle of inviolability of border. The other event is that 5 years ago, the United States and the European Union again interfered with the affairs of another state, a sovereign state, Ukraine. They provoked a state coup d'etat, which is another serious violation of international law. As a result, Ukraine was drawn into a conflict and became a source of regional instability. I would like participants of this to understand their responsibility for this. Hopefully, the Minsk agreements are followed under the Normandy format and in full compliance with the 2102 resolution of the United Nations. Germany and France will have to make sure that there will be no revision of the Minsk Accords to settle the conflict in the Donbas. I would like the lessons of Yugoslavia, Ukraine, Iraq and Syria would be learned in Western capitals. So far, unfortunately, this hasn't happened. And the situation around Venezuela is a confirmation of that fact, with threats coming towards Cuba and Nicaragua. There's been a very serious damage that was paid to the strategic stability by such irresponsible acts of the United States, such as the withdrawal from the Comprehensive Action Plan on the Iranian nuclear program and the INF Treaty. And as we know, this was not aimed at essentially dealing with some narrow regional missile threats, but to ensure that they have global military superiority. There is no clarity regarding whether the New START treaty will be essentially extended. And if you take into consideration the comprehensive nuclear test treaty, this is also something that is under doubt. And that can really threaten the NPT treaty, which is a key mechanism in the nuclear disarmament.
Today, the United States are rewriting the generally accepted norms of international rules and replacement on their own principles and rules, which they invent themselves and use every time, depending on the political reasonability. And we are concerned once the Western countries undermine the principles of equality and sovereignty. They privatize the secretariats of these international organizations, and such attempts are seen in Organization of Prohibition of Chemical Weapons and UNESCO. If that is not successful, they are trying to impose unilateral approaches, and they impose their will on international communities, and that is the country which is calling upon everybody to democracy. They are being led by undemocratic principles, and their norm is to punish with illegal sanctions those who are not following the American policy and dictates. It is said that many became hostages, those people and countries, they are adhering to the polycentric system of the world based on the UN principles. The growing of NATO, the increase of its missile missile potential and fortification of its eastern flank led to a crisis in the Euro-Atlantics. And we call upon our partners to discontinue this course and to rely on the principles of OECD and not to strengthen their security at the expense of others. And there are no systemic contacts between Russia and NATO, and the value of error may be very high under these circumstances. It's very good that a number of European NATO countries are present here. We know that although you've been under pressure from Washington to boycott our conference, and in the same manner, the United States prohibited their allies to take part in the demonstration of missile 9M29 to be assured about the characteristics of this missile. And those who are not willing to continue negotiations, this is a very weak position because there are no arguments. And I am convinced under very difficult circumstances, we cannot deprive ourselves of the ability to speak and to enhance mutual trust, because the lack of trust is a very serious situation. And actually, Organization on Security and Cooperation in Europe is a very important instrument, and on the initiative of Germany, the so-called structured dialogue may become a very important tool in the limitation of military escalation and to reduce risks and prevent incidents. But this dialogue shouldn't be everlasting polemics. We are prepared for a very honest and argumented conversation on any grounds, and we conveyed this message to our colleagues to the United States about practical steps to fortify strategic stability. As President Putin said, all these proposals are on the table, and this is due to a political will of the West. And the leading global centers should not compete between each other, but they should combine their efforts to struggle against the joint threats, primarily international terrorism. Although there was considerable success in suppressing ISIS, but still they continue to attack. And Sri Lanka attacks is the latest evidence of that. Again, we call upon a collective, coordinated, without any double standards work. And again, that is the initiative of President Putin to form the multiple anti-terrorist front under the auspices of United Nations. Again, we need to take into account biological and chemical terrorism, which was moved forward on the conference of 2016, but because of the Western opposition, this document is not being adopted. And Russian Chinese project end of treaty to ban the placement of weapons in space. And Western countries, they try to unleash the cyber wars, and they want to monopolize cyberspace. And we are against by forceful methods of its regulation. We are against cyber crime. And in December of last year, Russia adopted a resolution and proposed a resolution in the General Assembly of United Nations. It is impossible to ensure international security without regulation of conflicts, primarily in the Middle East and Northern Africa, where a number of states become victims of political engineering. happening. And as a result, the outbreak of terrorism, illegal weapon sales, and migration. Thanks to the efforts of the Russian Federation to the legal, legitimate government of Syria, we managed to preserve the statehood of this country. And by cooperating in the framework of Astana process, we laid down the principles of political regulation and initiation of the Syrian political dialogue in Sochi. And once the resolutions 2254 adopted by UN, we laid the realistic grounds to make it happen. That is the liquidation of terrorist stronghold in Idlib and the cessation of separatist efforts on the eastern bank of Euphrates. We need to create good conditions for the return of refugees, and our military are spending a lot of effort to do that. That conflict in Libya and the territory of Libya continues to be used by terrorists, and they torpedo the peaceful process, and terrorism goes to the adjacent countries in Syria, Yemen, and other conflict zones. There is no alternative to political regulation through all-nation dialogue with participation of all confessional and political forces. It is a matter of principle that outside players shouldn't provide unilateral efforts, but they need to coordinate commonly accepted and generally accepted compromise. The stabilization of Middle East and Northern Africa will not be able to happen without the solution of Arab-Israeli conflict to create and create the Palestinian state, which was recognized in the borders of 1967 with the border in the eastern Jerusalem. So the attempt of unilateral schemes, which contradicts to the UN initiatives, could not bring just and long-term peace. They conserve and create new points of tension. And the opinion of Washington in the Middle East, they deepen regional conflicts and provoke new problems and very, very dangerous confessional problems. And the principle is divide and rule continues to exist. Russia proposed to unite and not to separate the countries of the Union of the region to build the atmosphere of trust between Arab countries and Iran. And here is the Russian initiative to create in this strategic area the system of collective security, which jointly would be reacting to challenges, and the speedy accomplishment of UN initiative, the zone free of mass destruction. The interested party is the locomotive of economic growth, and actually that also faces serious challenges like the problems in Afghanistan and southeastern Asia, and territorial conflicts and disputes on Afghanistan and Korean Peninsula. Russia, China, and United States is participating in the attempts to solve this problem, and this is a very good example, a promising example, and Russia will continue to work to shape in the Asian Pacific region security ground. And in this we cooperate with Vietnam, with China, and many other countries, and we invite all partners, and we call upon to joint efforts on different international grounds grounds, including Eastern Asian summits and other ASEAN mechanisms, including Shanghai Cooperation Organizations and the treaties of collective security, which add to the stability on the huge, enormous Eurasian continent. Because of their multipolarity, the coping of different threats, beginning and the discontinuation of proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, we need to rely on the rules of international law and other universal institutions of the United Nations. This is the target of all states, small and big. We need joint efforts to restore the culture of interstate dialogue, the culture of consensus and compromise. I'd like to wish to the participants of this conference a very successful and productive discussion. Thank you for your attention.
Well, those were live images that we just received from Moscow. You heard the Russian Foreign Minister, Mr. Lavrov, touching upon some of the most important issues regarding international peace and security. He touched upon the issue of the conflicts that are ongoing in Yemen and Libya. He pointed to Syria and offered his support to the legitimate government of Syria. And, of course, the most important issues that Mr. Lavrov did point out during his speech was basically slamming the United States for its unilateral moves, the unilateral sanctions of the United States, pulling out of international deals unilaterally. And he mentioned that it is very important that at this particular point in time, all countries remain cooperative on equal ground in order to fight the common threat, which is international terrorism. And in order to support that, he pointed to the recent terrorist attacks in Sri Lanka and for proof that this is a fact that Daesh and the Takfiri terrorists are still, although they have been defeated in Iraq and Syria, they are still active in some parts of the world. And it is important to for all the countries, especially some NATO countries who are attending the Moscow conference, to remain vigilant and to cooperate on equal grounds in order to fight terrorism. He also slammed the United States for pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal, mentioning that it does not help peace and security in the region. We'll be bringing you more on this very important conference that is ongoing in Moscow, the 8th International Security Conference. And, of course, we'll be bringing you more on the Mr. Lavrov's address and, of course, the other speakers that will be addressing the participants.